Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you on Resurrection Day.
Yes.
You know, of course, that Jesus declared, in fact, promised that he would die for our sins. And he kept his word. He also promised he would raise from the dead. And he kept his word. And also in John 14, he said, I go to prepare the place for you. And then I will come again and receive you to myself. And my dear friends, you obviously know, he will keep that promise as well.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, my Saviour, your Saviour, will come again and take us to be with himself. Eighteen years ago, I retired from full-time pastoral work. I didn't retire from being the servant. I just retired from being in full-time pastoral work. But when that happened, my wife and I, who were since gone to be with the Lord, we said to the Lord, Lord, what would you want us to do now? We didn't want to think we'd done our bit and now it was up to someone else. We wanted to know how we could best serve the Lord in the retirement years. And the Lord gave us what I think is the most wonderful job this side of heaven, actually. And this is what he said. Whenever you get the opportunity, please encourage my people. And I discovered over the years, and by the way, I have been, this year, I've been saved 72 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've every reason to thank the Lord, and I have a lot of evidences of his goodness to look back on. But what I have discovered in these latter years especially, that there does seem to be a world shortage of encouragers. There seems to be the abundance of complainers, even in the church.
Yes.
And so I find it a great challenge and an opportunity to come today. I have not come, I was telling to Ray, I haven't come this morning to preach an incredible sermon. I have just come to encourage you. Because you all need encouraging. I can tell that by looking at you. No, that does not mean to say that you look down. Not at all. But friends, I am long enough to, in the tooth to know that often behind a smiling face, it can be a breaking heart. Behind a happy appearance, there could be someone facing a challenge. Now, I don't know, which I've never ever been to Goldthorpe before. This is my first visit. Whether it's my last will remain to be seen. But I just want to encourage you. I want you to be encouraged, friend, because we know that Jesus died and rose from the dead and said he was going to come again, and he will. It's that what's happening between his promise to come again and his inaction coming that creates the problem for us. We are living in that age when the world is turning its back increasingly on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here, friends, even in Goldthorpe, to make a difference. We are not here to fill the chairs of our church. We are here to make a difference. And I discovered there is some remarkable verses. Well, there's lots of remarkable verses in the scriptures. But let me just read a few of them. Okay. Here is Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm just going to read them for you. I'm not starting at the beginning. I'm starting actually at verse 20. In the 19 verses preceding this verse, the Lord has been talking to his Heavenly Father about his disciples, the ones that the Lord had given to him from amongst all those listeners during his lifetime. He was asking the Lord to look after them. He was asking the Lord to preserve them and to bless them and to use them. and to do with them in accordance with his divine will, to make them successful in living their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's praying for them. And in verse 19 he said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." But then, he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus prayed, friends, for us. Us who would believe in him 2,000 years later. Jesus was praying that we would be at one. Of course, in the Bible, Psalm 133, you read these words, "It's where brethren dwell together in unity, there God commands the blessing." So I have changed one word. Because you see, I like a word called togetherness. Togetherness. It's where people are together in spirit and in heart and in mind. It's there the Lord commands the blessing. So friends, if you want the blessing of God on all the services held in this lovely church, I want to tell you how to do it. Make sure you keep together in togetherness. Avoid bickering. Avoid falling out. Because, you know, the enemy causes more trouble in the church than he does outside. He can cause havoc within the Church of Jesus Christ when we have little differences, and the little differences become arguments, and the arguments become falling out, and we cause dispatience in the Church of Jesus Christ. So the enemy always seeks to cause his problem, his children to have problems in their relationship together. And God is vitally interested in togetherness. I find out, first of all, friends, that togetherness is God's plan. It's not something thought up by man. Togetherness is all about God's plan. It's about God's heart. It's about God's desire. God loves it when his people are in togetherness. When they love each other. Now that doesn't mean to say we always agree with each other. Because, you know, I am amazed that there are people who don't agree with me. Yeah, same with us all. And sometimes I don't know what I've done to cause them to disagree. But that's life. But friends, we can all disagree, and sometimes we have to agree to disagree. But we never, ever should fall out, because people have left churches before today. Of course, you knew that. People have left churches because brother so-and-so didn't speak to me today, or sister so-and-so, when I said hello, never answered me back. And brother and sister so-and-so, you know, they haven't spoken to me for 3 weeks, keeping count. All these, can I say, friends, comparatively simple and silly things the enemy will use to cause disunity, disharmony within the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's because of that that unity, togetherness, is vitally important in the plans and the purpose of God. God wants us to enjoy what he enjoys. Don't we ever thought about that? But God wants us to enjoy, not just knowing Jesus Christ as our Saviour. That is wonderful. And of course, unless that happens, then nothing worthwhile will happen. It has to be born again as we turn from our sins and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the first step. And friends, when we've made that step, it's the next step that we have to be careful of. Because God wants us. God wants you here in... I'm in Goldthorpe, aren't I?
Yeah.
I had to ask because I came the other day to find out where the church was. And I didn't realise, I stopped just over the other side of the traffic lights, and I said to a young man there, I'm looking for Goldthorpe. He says, you're here. I said, well, I'm looking for Market Street. He says, it's there. It's great. But you know, friends, at Goldthorpe, God wants his church to be filled with people who are living in togetherness. That's God's plan and purpose. Because when we are together in our desires, in our love for the Lord, and may I say, our love for each other, it's easy to love the Lord, he's been so good to us. But have you noticed, sometimes it's not quite so easy to get on with our brothers and sisters. But we should. Because togetherness is what the Lord wants us to enjoy. So today I want to encourage you to preserve togetherness. And if there's anybody in the church, I know they're not all here now, where you have a struggle, well, work at it. Because God is going to really pour out his blessing when we are together. Genesis 1:26, we read these words. Now we don't, we read them in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Who is God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you know, they are always perfect in togetherness. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning, they were together. And by the way, friends, God didn't suddenly arrive when he created the world. God has always been. And in eternity's past, and in the present, and in eternity future, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will still be enjoying that wonderful thing that I am calling togetherness. And there in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. I know these verses are not strange to you, but I just want to point out, friends, that right from the beginning and everything, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been together. There's never ever been a falling out. There's never been a difference of opinion. There have been trials and Jesus faced them. But friend, Jesus was always fully in accord, fully in harmony with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. And of course in Genesis 11:7, when the Lord, looking down from heaven, observed the building, the Tower of Babel. And he said then, let us go down and see what's happening. Let us. It's that togetherness, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The togetherness, that complete unity and joy of being together that God enjoys. And he wants the Church of Jesus Christ in Goldthorpe to be filled with that same togetherness. My dear friends, whatever you do, be careful to cultivate togetherness in your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with each other. Please do that. Because where there is discord in the Church of Jesus Christ, the effects of it are felt outside of the church. And we are here to show the world the joy of being together with the Almighty. So whatever you do, make sure. Don't allow the enemy to sow seeds of doubt or seeds of discord in your heart. Make sure that as far as you are concerned, remember friend, you are not responsible for the people sitting next to you this morning. But you are responsible for maintaining harmony in heart and mind. Preserve it. It is important. It's what God wants. And I suggest to you the Church of Jesus Christ always needs to know what God wants from us and to make sure we play our part. So together this is God's plan. And togetherness is God's plan for mankind. For those who are followers of him. In Genesis 5:24, we read those lovely words. Enoch walked with God. Now there's real togetherness. Enoch walked with God. Just a little point here that I might add. It's a personal observation. So because it's my opinion, you don't have to pay any attention to it. But I hope you will, because I think it's important. For many long years now, I have said to the Lord, in my morning devotion, I don't know when you have your devotions. I try to make sure, and of course I'm on my own, so it's easy. I make sure that the first thing I read in any one day is the Bible. The first person I speak to in any one day is the Lord. And during those discourses, when I ask the Lord to wash me clean, because I'm honest enough before the Lord to admit, friends, I don't always get it right. There are times when I find myself thinking thoughts, and I think, why on earth am I thinking like this? Because, you know, we can't stop thoughts coming into our mind, but we can make sure we don't keep them. And so I ask the Lord, I'll be honest, every morning I ask the Lord, wash me afresh in the precious blood of Jesus, so that I'm a clean vessel, so that you can use me, Lord. And I always say to him, Lord, if you want to use somebody else, that's okay. But Lord, at least I want to be ready, walking in togetherness with you. And it's that little phrase that I choose. For years I've said, Lord, please walk with me through today. You might pray exactly the same prayer. Are you wrong? Well, no, not wrong, except I believe there's a better way. My prayer now is, Lord, help me to walk with you. Important then, because God never puts a foot wrong. I can do. Sometimes I apologize, sometimes I do. So I stopped saying, Lord, will you walk with me? And instead I said, Lord, help me to walk with you. Enoch emphasizes what an incredible thing it is to walk with the Lord. God was so pleased with that man so long ago that the Bible says he actually never died, he just went. I don't know whether the family were looking for him or wondering what he's gone again. Whether he had the habit of walking off and enjoying the company of the Lord and certainly almost forgot where he lived and had to find his way home, I don't know. But he was constantly walking with the Lord. And God was so pleased he put it on record. But secondly, of course, that we find in Genesis 6:22, 8 and 9, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Bob Walter says that Noah was a just man, perfect in all his ways. And in his generation, Noah walked with God. We don't know a great deal about the life of Enoch, except that he walked with God. But we know a great deal about the life of Noah. And for 120 years, he did something which in the eyes of everybody around him would start raving crazy. Because you know the story. God told him to build an ark. He didn't tell him to build a ship, because moderns have said that the ark would not sail. And the ark was not meant to sail. All the ark had to do was float. That's all. And so the people asked him, what on earth are you doing? He said, I'm building an ark. What for? Well, God's going to flood the earth. He's going to what? He's going to flood the earth. Now, how on earth is he going to die? Have a look round, Noah. You can't see water within 100 miles of where we are now. Where's the water coming from? I don't know, but God will provide. And they laughed into scorn. Day after day, after month, after year, for 120 years. Noah was surrounded by unbelievers. The only believers were his wife and his sons and their wives. Just 8 people, that's it, on the face of this earth. And it all changed when it started to rain. That had never happened before. What made it worse was the water also came up through the earth. And suddenly, all those unbelievers, in a flash of time, became believers. But by then, Noah was in the ark with his family and with the animals told by the Lord to put take there. And God shut the door. Everyone wondered, why did God shut the door? I can tell you, actually. If Noah had a closed the door, when the people outside were begging and pleading to let them in, and I'm sorry, Noah, we made fun of you, but we know now you were right, and we've always been good friends, Noah. You know the sort of things that people say when they're in problems. If Noah had the authority, I'd like to guarantee you, he would have opened the door and let his best friend come in at least. But God shut the door. I mention all these friends because for 120 years, in the midst of ridicule, and no doubt other things were said and done to him and his family, that Noah had one thing keeping him steady. He was in complete unity, complete togetherness with God. And God was so pleased to put it on record. Because you know, all that even Jesus did is not written in here. But what is written is that we might believe. And may I also suggest, friends, that that applies to the Old Testament. God has proved by his actions, by his words, by the deliverances he brought about, that God loves togetherness. That's why he wants us to be in togetherness. People who have a real heart, a real life relationship with the Lord. And God is so pleased when that happens that he put it on record. And you know, the amazing thing is, they were ordinary people, just like us. Just like you. Just like you guys, girls, just like us. They faced life just like we do. They faced trials and temptations just like we do. In the midst of it all, God blessed them when they were dwelling together in togetherness. Togetherness is God's plan. Togetherness is God's plan for mankind. Togetherness reveals to us the work of God in the recorded, the last recorded prayer of Jesus, which is the verses I just read a moment ago. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That is the prayer of Jesus for you and I, by yourself, in your home, in the place of work, in the place we gather together. God wants us to be together. Now, I, over the years, I've travelled a great deal. I was born, Ray didn't think I did sound like a Yorkshireman. I was born in Rotherham a long time ago, and I lived in South Wales, and I was the pastor of a church in the northeast of England. And I was the pastor of a church in America, and the pastor of the church in Southern Ireland, and latterly the pastor of a church in Morocco, where I still attend as a member of the congregation. So I've been to lots of places and I've seen a lot of people. And I've had to face trials and difficulties. I remember, just came to my mind, so I'll share it with you. I have two fine sons. I have five great grandchildren. And they're all married, so I have ten grandchildren. And those grandchildren have now presented me, over the period of a few years, with six great grandchildren. So I've been blessed. But I also had a beautiful daughter. Even allowing for a father's bias, she was gorgeous. 5'2", not thin, but slim. Gorgeous long blonde hair, she was a beauty. Why do I tell you that? Well, because on Christmas Day, 1976, my wife and I, with our two boys, our pastor in South Wales, Elizabeth's boyfriend and his father, stood by a bedside in hospital in Newport, South Wales. Christmas Day, everybody was going around to their parties and their celebrations, rightly so. As we stood there by the bed at 5 o'clock on Christmas Day, the Lord took Elizabeth to live with him. Friends, if ever my faith was challenged, it was then. I remember saying, God, why? God, I only had one daughter. And I stood and watched her die. God said, Alan, I know exactly how you feel. I only had one son. I stood and watched him die. That moment, friends, in a strange, in a tearful but awesome way, my Saviour, my God and I experienced a togetherness that we couldn't buy. It was an awareness to me, Alan. Can I say, friends, the only way I can express it, it's almost that God put his hand on my shoulder. Said, you're not alone, we're together. That's when it's difficult. But I want to say, friends, in the happy times, in the joyous times, in the times when everything's going wonderful, we still need to be together. Together with the Lord, together with each other. Jesus prayed for that we would enjoy togetherness. So important. Now, I'm not responsible for what everybody else does. I'm not responsible for other people's walk in togetherness with the Lord. But I am, friends, I am responsible. What I am asking you to maintain, I also have to maintain, a togetherness with the Lord. Because friends, I've had ample opportunities over the past to prove, when I move away from that togetherness, I fall flat on my face. My only security, my only hope, is being in a togetherness with the Lord. And I'm responsible for me and for the way I live my life. Maintaining that togetherness with the Lord and with my brothers and sisters. It's all about my life right now. It's all about your life right now. It's all about our lives right now. Because you see, friends, we cannot always be together. But we belong together. We're family. I've just come today to meet family members that I haven't met for a long time in one instance. But most of you I've never even seen before. Well, that's okay. I reckon you're okay. I think you're great. I have to do it. Do you know why? Because God thinks you're good. And we need to maintain our venomous, our togetherness. Because togetherness is a personal thing. First, God and me. And secondly, our relationship, our togetherness with each other says something to the world outside. We are here, you are here in Goldthorpe, friends, to make a difference. That's why we're here. And so God wants us to maintain togetherness, not divisiveness, not division. Because as we live together in unity, in togetherness, it will be evident to the people outside. The same sort of thing you read of in the Bible, when it said the people took notice they had been with Jesus. And our walk with the Lord is a testimony that goes before us of the importance of unity, believing God's word. With your permission, I would like to pray for you, and then we'll just share a little song with you and encourage you. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
No dissenting voice, so we'll go ahead. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my loving you, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the witness of this church. In this whole area of Goldthorpe. Lord, Goldthorpe is a lot bigger than I ever thought. Lord, there's much to do in relying on your people to accomplish your work. So I pray, Lord, you'll help me. I pray you'll bless those who will be journeying north shortly. I pray for those who are over in India. Lord, I pray for your people throughout the length and breadth of the world. That, oh God, that wonderful thing called togetherness. Even if we want to stick with the word of unity, the Lord, it will be so evident that signs and wonders will follow the preached word. Lord, help us to play our part. We can't do it all, but we can all do something. So help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. No, I said, I haven't been all over the place, but I have been in the world. Just to put your mind at rest, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I'm going to tell you I was born in 1934. Don't worry, it's not all that important. It's just I want to tell you for all those years, I have ever been grateful to the Lord for his togetherness. A very good song, you might have heard it before. It sounds something like this. I've had many tears and sorrows, and I've had questions about tomorrow. There have been times that I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed confirmation that my trials come to only make me strong. And through it all, Yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've been to lots of places, must have seen a million faces, and yet there've been times that I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus showed to me that I was His own. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. So, through it all, and in spite of it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Togetherness happens when we love God, when we love each other, when we love His word. My final comment would be a sincere, God bless you, real God. Mm-hmm.